Lisa.
What's up, Elsie?
Yay, we're back again.
We're back.
Oh, and this time we're going to be talking a little bit more about women in media and focusing a little bit more of what's going on in the women in media space that goes beyond podcasting. We're just going to tap a little bit onto that, and then we're going to do a little chatting about kind of priming to start a podcast, which is something that it's like the $1 million question.
Right.
Everybody wants to know.
It's a new feminist rant every episode on She Podcasts.
Well, you know what? I think that there's a lot of podcasts out there that really deal with the nuts and bolts, right? I mean, that's what they talk about. And then possibly maybe a little bit of lifestyle stuff out there, you know?
No, probably not. It's probably all tech and stuff. I mean, very rarely do you even get any business podcast that has to do with the lifestyle, unless they're talking about holistic, unless they're talking about like a specific lifestyle of like the 4-hour work week or something.
Right. Or if their podcast is about lifestyle design, you know, I mean, the holistic type of entrepreneur that is out there, then that's what their conversations are about. But I think in the podcasting space and in the media space as a whole, I don't think that there is a voice for women as much as, you know, off the top of my head at this moment, I cannot think of any other than maybe when like This Week in Tech or Daily Tech News have women guests that come on the show that maybe give a little bit of commentary on what's going on. But not really.
No, not really.
I will actually mention a podcast that I'm obsessed with here very soon. But let's talk about this article that I found on Inc. And it was written by a man. Thank you, Ben Parr, co-founder and managing partner of Dominate Fund.
Right on.
The title of this Inc. article was, "I'm so sick and tired of men marginalizing women in tech." All right, then. So, you know, it's an interesting conversation because it seems like it just, I think you made a comment to me when we were discussing this, that it's sad that this is a conversation that we have to have. Or that, this is still a conversation, right?
Sad and kind of a surprise, although not really a surprise, because maybe, you know, maybe change doesn't come with just one. I mean, this is happening with racism too, right? Like, change doesn't come with just one revolution. Like you have a revolution and then things settle down and then everyone quietly goes, wait, nothing's different. I'm still being oppressed. I'm still listening to you oppress other people. Like, I don't like that. And no, there's no marches for me to attend. Balls, you know?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do now? So that's happening certainly with feminism because like of all the, you know, I've been noticing lately that journalists are constantly asking celebrities whether or not they're feminist.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to be a new question. Like they didn't used to say like, so do you consider yourself a feminist?
Ugh,
like, why
annoying.
Do I care if, you know, every single person on the red carpet is a feminist? It's just a weird question to ask, but the answers are even weirder.
Yeah. And I think people have a really weird relationship with that. I mean, the Emma Watson, the big speech that she gave, you know, we'll probably put a link in the show notes. That was really, I mean, I was very impressed by her. I was very moved by her words. And I think she addressed a lot of issues that have come up, especially for the newer generation, that it's like feminism seems like there's a disconnect from the actual meaning of the word or what it means. Mm-hmm. So I feel that that's an issue coming up. But in
there's
terms,
definitely a disconnect for the definition because for anyone to say no, I mean, you would have to be like, I mean, it's the same as owning slaves, like because being a feminist just means you believe in equal rights and equal pay for women as men. Like who would say no to that? It just makes no sense.
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm not. It's interesting because I'm not like that just hasn't been part of my understanding, like in terms of equal pay. Like I don't, since, you know, when I work, working for Libsyn, I'm not in the office. And plus, when do you have conversations to find out whether or not somebody's making more money than you doing what, you know, like when is that conversation going to come up? So I don't really know the difference and I haven't really been in the corporate world, but what's really interesting to me was this comment that, Mr. Parr made here, which is, let me see something that I think I just put it in the show notes of us, but something that had to do with the fact that, women don't really have mentors, particularly in the tech industry, that they can really work for, you know. There was also, he mentions a piece in Newsweek that addressed Silicon Valley and women and their women's experience in Silicon Valley. And in that piece, a company called Glass Breakers was mentioned, and that is a peer mentorship community for women. And Ben mentioned that he had a lot of his success from, you know, because of his mentors. He had a couple of mentors that really inspired him, and it was easy for him to find mentors as a man. It is much harder for women, of course, to find mentors. So, you know, I totally agree. I believe that that's a huge thing, especially in the podcasting industry like this as well. Because even now, and I'm not, you know, complaining. This is not about complaining. But whenever, when I saw the How to Podcast, you know, feature in iTunes, which now we are part of that group, because now when you go into iTunes, there is a, you know, a, kind of like one of those wonderful little rectangular squares that says How to Podcast. Mm-hmm. And I went into it and we were not featured. And right. It was really interesting to me because I thought, I didn't take it personally. I don't think that it was really about the fact that they did not do it on purpose, but it was the same ones that have always been up there. And I right. thought, what an opportunity for those guys to support a podcast that is about podcasting from the women's perspective, giving us a voice. And it's so important for them to push. So I emailed them.
And they responded.
And they responded. And they said, yes. And so they featured us. So it's just one of those things that I feel that we do. And I didn't do it in a bad way. I just said, like, thank you so much for, because I was already, the feed was being featured. And I said, thank you so much for that. And you know what? There's this as well.
Where can people find that if they want to find it? Like, if they want to see, like, how to podcast.
I believe it's, like, right in the front page.
The front page of iTunes?
Yeah, I think so. Let me really quickly open up iTunes because it's one of those very large, rectangles. Like if you just start to look right at the page, you scroll down, it should be right there. And you can scroll down from the side and the other side. Like they'll focus on, how would I say it? They'll focus on book reading or getting your, like, they're usually educational focused stuff there. So.
Okay. Let's see. So if I go to all.
If you go to the iTunes store in the podcasts category, you'll be able to find it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So like I'm in there.
Yeah. And then you like, you know, once you're in, those are the
Ear Biscuits, Food is the New Rock, Air Raid, The Heart, How to Start a Startup, Barry, New Tech City, Marvel, Tim Ferriss. Okay, so then under not new and noteworthy, not monitor the market. Oh.
No, see, it's like, see how there's that new to podcasts thing there, like right at the top? It's like one of those, because there's featured collections. It's in the featured collections. So Feature Collections has New Year, New You, Internet Stars, Parenting, World News, Movie Fanatics, Book Lovers, How to Podcast.
See, I only have three. Podcast Starter Pack, Language Learning, and Computer Gaming.
For Featured. Really?
Yeah.
Are you looking at it on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, this is for on the computer. I'm on the computer. So maybe.
No. I'm on the computer. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's actually not.
That is so weird.
Yeah, I just have featured collections. It just has all
not
of
irritating.
These.
Irritating. All right, hold on. Let me close iTunes and open it back up and see.
Yeah, they've got all of those there.
How weird is that, though?
It is very strange. It is very strange.
Anyway.
No, but that's one of those things that I just thought, for me, it is very important, especially for women podcasters, to know that there are women's voices out there that will support you with this. And I'm not talking about I'm not talking about business luminaries, right? Because there are a lot of strong business luminaries that happen to podcast and use podcasting as a platform that they focus in a lot for their business. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about podcasting in from the podcaster's perspective, focusing on media and digital audio as the thing to talk about.
Right.
Right? So it's right. not about how to optimize your business and how to make a bit. But no, but this is what we're talking about here. I think there aren't a lot of hosts that are coming in onto the show or luminaries in tech that want to take and stand behind the mic and really start to talk about podcasting, except this new podcast that I just found, which is called Rocket. And Rocket does feature like a female round table, basically. Mm-hmm. It's three mm-hmm. women who are the host. So it's kind of imagine like instead of a twosome, which is what she podcasts is, it's a threesome. And it's a threesome that stays a threesome, meaning that they don't really at this moment have had anybody come into the table discussion. But it is like some of the strongest voices that are out there that are incredibly amazing. So mm-hmm. it features Brianna Wu, she is the head of development for Giant Space Cat. Simone DeRochefort, she writes about games in pixelkin.org, and Christina Warren, who is a senior tech analyst for Mashable. And what I love about that conversation between these three women is that they do talk about pop culture. They talk about, like, you know, last time that I listened, they were talking about the new Windows Office Suite that has come out, and the new what is the Windows Outlook that has just been revamped? Mm-hmm. And there's a deep conversation about that because it was like so much better than it's been and all this kind of, it was a very interesting conversation because they've done it from the ground up. But at the same time, they also talk about a lot of girly things. Like they were talking about Gem, you know,
Gem
and the holograms. They had literally about 30 minutes of conversation about Gem and the holograms.
Gem is truly outrageous.
Yeah. and they've talked about purses and they've talked about like just a bunch of like woman stuff, but it's a great conversation. And they just address three main topics and they talk for 90 minutes about three topics. I know. And I'm like, I love it. I love the conversation. I love all their points of view. These are highly intelligent women, super smart. And all of them are right in the in the pulse of tech, which is amazing to me. So I feel that we need that kind of conversation a little bit more out there, particularly for women in tech.
Totally agree.
Yeah. And then companies like Glassbreaker, which is really cool. So ladies, you guys should check out glassbreakers.co, which is simply about finding women mentors for mm-hmm. yourself in the professional realm.
Right.
So there was also another article that I came across just on the same vein, and this all happened about the same time, and it was about Robert Redford saying that women and young people are the future of film, and he was interviewed Sundance.
Wait, before we talk about Robert Redford, I want to ask you, have you ever experienced any kind of sexism in your tech job or world?
I believe that, you know, that's so hard.
Like, I know you don't want to bang on Libsyn, but like, is there anything that ever makes you feel like you're being left out of the conversation? Or, I mean, I know that you don't work in the office, so that's could be a factor of that. But like, I'm just curious whether or not you have to either remind people like, hey, women too, or you know what I mean?
Well, I wish that I could give a rounded answer to that, because here's my thing. I think Crystal would probably be better. You know, my coworker Crystal, who does a lot of the tech support,
mm-hmm.
and she's
worked,
you know, she's worked in tech for in a different level. You know, she's done a lot of work with CMSs and like total tech stuff. Like she comes from a tech background and study. And she has worked in a lot more corporations than I have. I have not. And Libsyn, I can't really say it's a total corporate entity. Mm-hmm. And I, since I have never worked in that, I don't know what is okay and what is not okay. Like what's the, like, I don't know what the ins and outs of
whatever makes you feel
meeting.
Like you need a shower is not okay.
Right. Yeah. I've never had that happen.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm just seeing like the ins and outs of conference calls. Usually we do it on like on the phone because I wasn't really there. When I was there, we used to have like a Tuesday call in the mornings and you just would sit in there and like everybody, like basically one person would talk and I would just kind of listen. I just didn't even know like what the, there's so many different layers. I didn't know what mattered. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, Libsyn is very, our president is a woman. You know, Sarah runs all the stuff behind all the apps in Libsyn is a woman. Crystal, one of the three support people over in Libsyn is a woman. Mm-hmm. I am the front-facing part of Libsyn, which is a woman. So there's so much, so many layers of that. That's kind of not, that's very unusual.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of the female voice, particularly when it comes to the design aspects of things. And Crystal is involved with some of the back end stuff in terms of getting the stuff done back there. I think that maybe that would be a conversation that maybe Crystal could answer better than I can, but I have not. Have you?
Well, my very first marketing job out of college was selling banner advertising for DelawareOnline.com and then Philly.com. So like their newspaper websites. And first of all, I remember that my coworker, who was a little younger than me, was paid $3,000 more a year. And so those conversations, I mean, they came up in between him and I, but that's because we were always complaining about our job. So, and then we were, saying one day it was just like, you know, the money I make isn't worth it. And he was like, oh, you make that? Oh. And I had two kids and I was a single mom and I made $3,000 less.
Oh my gosh.
For the same. Yeah. And I mean, I was like maybe 2 years older than him. Not that that mattered, because I'm sure we were both like same starting level, which is even more annoying. I think I was like 25 when I had this job. But also, and I honestly attributed this to being either a woman or super short, but like my coworker and my boss were both like 6 feet tall, and I'm 5'3". And even with heels, I often felt like when we were having a team meeting or if we were standing somewhere, the two of them were talking to one another and they didn't. Like they would never address me or look at me. Like they were just kind of talking to each other. And I was like, you know, a foot below them going, like right. Just trying to get them to realize I was standing there and part of the conversation. It was very hard. And I sort of was like, okay, well, yeah, I know I'm short, but like, I mean, I don't know. I just always felt like they were collaborating and I was sort of the odd man out. And it did feel a lot like because I was a woman. And it was, you know, it was 1999, so the internet was new. And I don't know why they thought that Ken knew more than me. He was such a numbnuts, to be honest with you. But, like, why my boss would think that Ken would be a better person to talk to about that stuff. But I don't know. I just, like I said, I just felt like they were always coming up with stuff to do and, like, not asking me. And just I was sort of always going along with whatever they were doing. It was just annoying. But I wouldn't say that, like, I felt like I needed a shower. But, you know, it felt icky. I didn't feel included in it. It kind of sucked. I don't know. Other than that, like when I was at Subaru, my job as I was a tester and I was a tester. I was treated pretty fairly, I think. It was annoying because like my coworker was a woman and my boss was a man. And I did always kind of feel like, I don't know. Like she and I socialized together and he was always like sitting with the boys. I don't know. It was a little bit of a boys club, but again, it was Subaru. It is a car company.
Right. But I know that there's a lot of women that love cars, you know, I mean, there's,
oh, right.
And it depends. I don't know. I think that there's a difference between cultural, like there are certain things that just culturally we do easier, you know, with women, or there are certain things that we do easier with men, just like in regular stuff, as opposed to getting less money because you are a woman, or having people make sexist comments to you or dismiss your work because, well, you're just a woman, or dismiss if you have something to say about something and your opinion is viewed as bitchy or just dismiss it because it seems like, you know, it's that time of the month, you know, if somebody says that to you, then that's just dismissive. That's different than just being like, I don't want to talk about football with you guys on the, you know, at the lunch table. I mean, that's like,
it was definitely a feeling of like the female underlings versus the boss dudes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which I didn't like. And in this case of the sales thing, there were also clients that I would send Ken because I knew they were particularly lecherous.
Right.
And didn't take me seriously, you know, because I had boobs. And so I would just say, you know, either you come with me and then he would do all the talking and then he would get the sale. Which was, you know, it was annoying, but like, I think that's just sales.
Yeah.
Which I hate to say, but you know, like the tighter the skirt, the, you know, the bigger the contract. It's true. Holy At least cow. It was true then. I mean, it shouldn't be true, but it is.
Like, yeah.
You notice who they hire for pharmaceutical sales reps. You know, they're cute, male or female.
Right. It's just, right? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is kind of interesting because that does, you know, sales does require a little bit more of a voice. It requires mm-hmm. women's to speak. And I'm assuming for that type of sales that there is a specific tone mm-hmm. that we might take as women to make a sale mm-hmm. that we wouldn't if we're just chatting about anything, right?
Right.
Because it just, and that's why, and I'm now just kind of shifting the subject and bringing it back to Robert Redford.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because
sorry.
The question, no, you don't have to apologize because the question that was presented to him was, what are your views on diversity in cinema and particularly women's voices mm-hmm. and women in the industry? And I just thought that women's voices in there was really neat. Now, I'm going to read you what he said. But at the same time, I want you to tell me what you think, because I have something that popped up for me when I started to hear that, because the way that it was presented from the article said, you know, Robert Redford, women and young people are the future of film, right? Doesn't that seem like he's saying some amazing thing about right. women and young people, right? So he says, okay, so here we go. So he said, well, diversity is the name of the game as far as I'm concerned. Independence and diversity go hand in hand in my mind. He then paused. I think the future, and this is just my opinion, for us to move out of where we are now and to move to something more sustainable and exciting, I think it will be in the hands of women and young people. With the young people that are coming on today, we've messed up what we're handing to them in terms of planet, and they have less work to do with that than they would have years ago. But young people today are really, really smart. What I saw a few years ago was that young people were disenchanted with a system to where they didn't want to get into politics and they don't want to do anything to do with it. I think that's changed. Now young people want to be given the reins. Women, because of their nurturing sensibilities, are also the way to go. If you put those things together, I think that's our future.
So he's actually a giant ass.
Yeah. You know? So then I thought, like, well, he talked about the young people, right? But then at the end, it was just like women, because of their nurturing sensibilities. It was like, thank you, but I just wanted more. Did you not want more? That was like it was like a sentence.
I actually, that was one sentence. See, at first when he said it'll be in the hands of women and young people, my mind sort of wandered off to like Bridesmaids.
Oh, right. Okay.
And how, and the Golden Globes being hosted by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, because I think of women, I guess, in comedy and how, a lot of movies now are being better sold towards that demographic, because I sort of feel like even the television that's geared towards the 18 to 40 male marketplace is just terrible. It's just the same crap over and over. And as soon as a woman puts together something good, like it's starting to get acclaims, like Orange is the New Black or Jane the Virgin or just whatever. And same with Bridesmaids. But none of those women are like Tina Fey. She said, you know, nurturing sensibility, she'd probably laugh right in your face. Like I don't think they're known particularly for being nurturing. Not that they're not.
Right.
But it's just a side note. It's not, you know, it's not like the main paragraph for her or for Amy or for Melissa McCarthy or for any, I guess, women writer. Like that's sort of like an afterthought, whether or not they're nurturing. Like what the hell does that even mean? Because of our nurturing sensibilities, we're the way to go as far as like the future of, I mean, why?
Diversity is what he was saying. The future of diversity. That's why I got confused, because that he was thinking, he was just talking about, I understand the whole thing about, right. You know, the politics and the, you know, handing them a planet that's all messed up and like, you know, now they've decided, oh, young people have decided to now engage in new ways. They were disenchanted, no longer disenchanted. And then women, because of their nurturing sensibilities, in what way? In the way of telling a story? Are you talking right. about humanity?
Right. Is it because they're nicer directors?
Yeah, I know. Is it because, I don't know. And this, you know, conversation came about because I guess there were no filmmakers in Hollywood that were nominated for directing or screenwriting at the Oscars this year.
That's because Ava... the woman who directed Selma, something happened with that. I read an article about it. I have to think for a second. Part of it is because They said that Selma didn't get their pre-screens out in time, so the voters hadn't gotten to see the movie before they got to choose. The other part of it is that they kind of dinged her on being historically accurate.
All right.
So, like, they made it, I guess she made it seem like, or she, I don't know, some people were saying that, like, Lyndon Johnson did more than she actually portrayed him doing in the movie, or I don't know, but, like, she's the only woman that would have been nominated, and she wasn't for what they call semantics, but she would have been the first African American woman to win or even be nominated, I think, had she been nominated. Hmm. But well, she wasn't.
I have to be honest, because I don't know crap about movies and cinema and all stuff like that. You know, like I don't. Sadly, I wish that I knew more, but I don't. And I also don't want to make it so that, you know, just because you're a woman, let's go find a woman's film to nominate, you know?
I agree. But I just, yeah, I mean, like, would they have done that had it been Lincoln?
Right. Because everybody's, yeah, because there is a push behind that, because that's what the conversation, yeah. I don't know.
A lot of people said Lincoln wasn't historically accurate. That doesn't mean you don't put it up for an Oscar.
True. And actually, this leads into the conversation, the last article actually that came up from me here. And then we're going to talk about what you shared, because we're going to share some audio from that. That's going to be fun.
Cool.
So this was on Latina, a random thing. It was on the Latina website, latina.com.
I seriously don't know when you read. Like, when do you read?
Like, well, I told you before, it's like I read, I have feeds, you know, I have feeds. I read on my phone. When I open it up, I scroll through stuff. And then this is actually the reason I tapped through this is because the headlines, it was really the headlines. This one was called Jane Fonda, Gender Inequality, Sundance Speech. So I was like, okay, that seems cool, because I was just listening to that. And she said, the studios are run by men and they have the bottom line to me and they give jobs to people like them. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of gender, not that we don't have the experience. And then she continued to say, we all know what we have to do. We have to not be quiet about it. We have to keep talking about it. We have to shame the studios for being so gender biased. Media is the face of the United States. And if the women's part of our country isn't part of that face, then they're not getting the whole picture. We have to fight real hard to get women in positions of power. And remember, there are no set rules. We have to show that women who make movies make money. We have to prove that we can be commercial.
I mean, Jane, always the...
Jane, always the... I know. She's been at this for so many years.
Always the activist, Jane.
Absolutely.
Fonda.
At 77.
As far as like how this relates to us and podcasting, like the whole reason I started my show was because I did feel like I would never be featured on the other shows because I was a woman and they were really only featuring dudes.
Right.
And it was infuriating. So I wanted to start my own where I could feature other people. And I do still feel that way. I do still feel like they don't. And like, if you want to look at, I know more about TV than movies, sadly, but like if you look at like Comedy Central, for example, I can name you like the two women's shows. Like there's two. It's Amy. What's that woman's name? Help me out. Well, there's Broad City with Alana and Abby, Alana Glazer and Abby. What's her name? And then Amy. Oh, damn. Now it's really sad that I can't remember. Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer. There's an Amy Schumer show, and then there's Broad City, and that's it. Everything else is like dudes, like Tosh.0 and like Workaholics. Like they're all comedy dudes.
Yep.
So, I mean, I kind of agree with her that we need to show that we can make money and that we can be just as funny or that we can be just as lucrative. But I still think it's really sad. It's sad. I mean, as far as like shaming people, I mean, do I think that would work? Like, for example, one of the podcasts that used to really piss me off, it still kind of pisses me off, is Lewis Howes's podcast. And I think he's a very sweet guy. But his podcast is called The School of Greatness. And, very rarely does he interview a woman, like very rarely. And I actually asked him about that once, and he said it was because he very rarely ran into women who, you know, fit the bill for who he was trying to interview. And I sort of was like, really? You don't know any great, amazing, great women? Like, that's shameful. And still, if you scroll through now, like, it's like 1 in 10 is probably a woman out of, like, the, I don't know, probably 200 episodes that he has. But I also think what there's something else to what Jane said that's very true, and that is that, you know, and actually bringing it back to the first article about mentors, Elsie, where, like, Lewis looks for probably male mentors because he's a man. And, like, same with, they all are looking for male mentors. And so in the movie industry, you know, they're going to promote who their mentor was or who taught them. And that wouldn't have been a woman 50 years ago. So, you know, it just keeps perpetuating itself. And in the podcasting world, that's a little bit true, too. We have to sort of create our own genre and then promote within our genre because we don't have, you know, it was typically men previously and especially in business.
Totally.
There aren't going to be a lot of business podcasts geared towards women. So you have to start one and then start, you know, and then two and then three and then interview the people who motivated you and et cetera. The women who motivated you or whatever. I mean, it's almost like I don't like it, but I don't expect better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I think that it's challenging because there are certain things like Tim Ferriss has interviewed a couple of women that have been really strong, very strong interviews for him. And I like his line of questioning. I also think he also looks for mentors, you know, people that have really tapped into and interest him. And I think that's a valid point. I feel that even for me here as when we get pitches for the show, or if somebody says, hey, why don't you interview so-and-so just because she's famous, I feel like, well, I don't want to because I have no interest in this person. I don't know who she is. That's not the conversation we're having right now. Possibly in the future, I need to get to know her. I don't know who she, you know, there's like a relationship that I would want to have even, and it has nothing to do with her being a woman or a man. It's just, it's like, I just want to know you better to see if I want to bring you over. It's like our house. So I understand it from that perspective. I would go out of my way perhaps to look for more, women perhaps, or maybe, you know, I should perhaps as my responsibility as a show producer to differentiate, and offer our audience maybe, part of this topic that, you know, people are looking for. And I would like to focus more on women, which is what I do all the time. I know that there are some topics I want to talk about. I know that there are men that can come on the show and talk about them. And I've been really, really hesitant to do that because I want to find a woman's voice to address the issue. Mm-hmm. So until I've really searched and have not found a woman who can address the issue, I'm not going to bring the man on unless I have really just, I haven't found somebody.
For our show?
For our show, yes. That's how I would feel. For this specific show.
But I often say no because I just feel like, and when they say, you know, I help with this or that, and I'm a great guest, and I'm hilarious, and this and that, and I've had you on my show, I also sort of feel like, yeah, but there's so many shows that you can be featured on. Like, why do you need to be featured on mine?
Exactly. No, and you're totally right. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, for me, there are two ways in which I discern who I would like to have on She Podcasts. One of them is if it's a conversation that goes along with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? And the interview and like the kind of conversations that are going to really benefit our listeners. And then I would, if there is something that I feel is lacking in the community and I would like to educate, I would like to find first a woman to teach whatever it is or discuss whatever it is in terms of the subject. And then at the end of the day, if I can't find somebody, then I would go to a man because I feel that I would rather highlight a woman that has an expertise in that subject. So, yeah.
And that's all I'm saying. I don't know. Does it sound like reverse? I mean, people could argue that it's reverse sexism, but the truth is like, I mean, if there's already so much, it's sort of like Venus. You have to forgive me because my brain is only half, like,
that's
better
okay.
and functional.
Half better.
Dr. Venus. Anyway, it's this woman that I interviewed, and she only works with black women. And mm-hmm. she says, you know, I don't have a problem with white people or white women or whatever. It's just that, you know, I just feel like no one else is taking time to build them up. And so that's what I want to do. Like, if you don't like it, there's 100,000 other coaches you can go and work with.
Right.
She's right.
Yeah.
She's 100% right.
No, I like it. When you said that, I remember you can be in all of these other shows. I totally agreed. And
Venus Reese, sorry.
Sorry. But yeah. I just think that it's I completely
yeah.
agree.
So many other shows.
So, and then plus there's a different thing that we're highlighting. And then I come back again to Natalie Eckhall. I believe that she, mm-hmm. you know, her show is about, I'm sorry, Nat, if I get this wrong, but it's
podcast.
Like, well, it's Biz Chicks podcast. Yes. But her focus is all on like female CEOs or somebody who's like very high up in a company. Like it's not just women having a business. It's like a very specific type of guest that she wants.
See, I've been
show.
On her show, so I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Thanks.
Great.
It says a nest for multi-passionate entrepreneurs. No, I mean, she has had some very interesting women on there. And I don't know if – I mean, she does have – like her last episode was Shark Tank success and then angel investing. She does go through way more topics than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Different ages and different businesses. Like she does reach out and try and find a lot of diverse type of women, which I think is cool.
And just as an FYI – and this is something I just found, and is that there? I don't know how you'll feel about this, but I just found a new podcast, which is called "She Does." She does.
Does she?
Yeah, she does.
It's
a podcast hosted by Elaine Sheldon and Sarah Ginsburg, and it showcases conversations with women making their mark in media.
Oh, that's nice.
Going beyond their current career status, we explore each woman's past to understand how their personality, background, and philosophy informs their work. Female writers, producers, directors, technologists, designers, cinematographers, musicians, and journalists share their knowledge and personal stories every other Wednesday on the podcast. So
that's nice. What's wrong with that?
No, I'm just saying because it's called She Does, like She Podcast, like She, you know, does. But it's really cute because it kind of has a doe as their album artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a little doe. She does.
Maybe it's supposed to be like she does.
She does. She does.
No, I'm sure it's she does.
So I just thought that was really cool. I just added them to my playlist here so that I could listen to what that they're new. They just started in January. So
yeah. So far, she's had
four episodes.
She's had the creator of Vimeo, Katja Blitchfield. I don't know who that is, and an award-winning photojournalist.
Lyric.
Yeah.
Cabral.
So I mean, yeah, that's hardly a threat, but. But I think that's exciting. Good for her.
Yeah. So when there's like a, yeah, so that's really cool. It's like very exciting. So anyway, so going back to kind of taking it back to media and the way that you put yourself out there or the way that media showcases women, we're going to play like a couple of minutes from little piece of audio that you sent me, Jess.
Yeah.
And this is from Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl is tomorrow night, and here with her predictions for the big game is the one-dimensional female character from a male-driven comedy. Welcome back, Heather.
It's me, Heather, from work. You might not have noticed me, but when you're making jokes with your friends during the meetings, I'm the one in the back going...
Okay. So for a one-dimensional female character, I hear you're actually a pretty big football fan.
I know. It's pretty confusing, right? I'm a girl, but I'm also hot, but I also like sports. It's why I'm in this cute girl jersey. And tonight, I'm going to walk in front of my stainless steel refrigerator in just this and no pants. That's how much I like sports.
Okay, great. So do you have any predictions on the score?
Fine. I'll go out with you. But I'll probably get annoyed with you halfway through dinner and leave. You really need to grow up.
I do?
You're one to talk. Do you even remember Megan's launch party? You were so wasted. You made a fool of yourself. Well, I was in the back in an $8,000 dress. My face was like this all night. You need to grow up.
Okay, so what do you think? Like Seahawks, Patriots?
All right, the truth. I'm pregnant.
I'm sorry, you're pregnant?
You just can't tell from looking at my body from the front or the back or in a bikini. My body just doesn't show it, ever, and it never will. Sorry I'm so complicated.
I feel like I'm missing something here.
Oh, just like you missed Lamaze class, because you decided to get thrown into a country jail for streaking with your friends, Fat Jerry and Horny One.
Is anyone following this?
Remember? You called me from jail, and I said, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Heather, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Nice try, Colin. Run away like you always do. You know what the worst part is? I actually thought you'd be excited about this. God, I'm so stupid.
Heather, I'm utterly baffled by what's going on right now, but I promise I had no intention of making you cry.
Wow. You really have changed. You've grown up a lot.
When?
I guess my sassy gay friend was right about you. He said, girl, that guy is fierce. And here, Queen didn't lie. Here, do you want to hold your baby? He has your eyes and your face.
Oh, my God. I'm a dad. I mean, I have so much to teach my child. Wait a second. Is this the baby from American Sniper?
I know. Confusing, right?
The one-dimensional female character from a male-driven comedy.
Okay, so, oh my God. You know what a hard time, this is something that's really interesting. You know what a hard time I had just watching this video because it wouldn't load?
Why, really?
It would not load on my computer. I'm sitting here going, I need to watch this. I need to watch this. And it would not load. I finally had to take my phone off of Wi-Fi and just stream it via LTE because it would not load on my computer. It was the most annoying thing. I hate that.
I hate that too.
But anyway, so now coming back to the beauteous, which is this one-dimension female character male in a male-driven comedy.
And first of all, you should know if you are do not watch Saturday Night Live, those of you who are listening because you've given up on it for whatever reason, Saturday Night Live is going through a surge of hilarious women comics, and they really make the show, like the men sort of like blend into the background, and it's the women who shine. Like Cecily Strong is the one who you just listen to, but there's Kate McKinnon. There's a new player called Leslie Jones, who's a 47-year-old black comic, and she's so funny you'll pee yourself. Like just her facial expressions are so funny. Like I laugh through the whole every time she's on the TV. I'm peeing myself. So if you haven't been watching it, just out of, you know, you should give it a shot just to see the chicks on there. I mean, there's not Kristen Wiig and there's not Maya Rudolph, but the new women are hilarious. I think.
Good. Well, I'm glad that's been happening here. And I'm glad that there's a focus on this. And I hope that the conversation in the future isn't about women and men and women and women and women. And we are kind of bringing it to the helm because it's important. It's important for us to find this. Somebody's got to speak it up right now.
Here's why it's important, even on SNL, because John Belushi was very famous for insisting that women were not funny, mm-hmm. and he would not perform in any skit that was written by a woman, ever.
Holy cow, get the heck out of here. That's insane.
So even here, it's important to say, like, hey, in 1975, like, women had it rough on that show, and now they're really the stars. And that's important.
Yeah.
Because one douche 40 years ago decided women weren't funny, and now, you know, they kind of run it, which I think is, you know, and Tina Fey was their head writer for years, and it is important to show all those people who said women can't as well as women shouldn't, women don't, or I won't participate. Like, you can go, you know, F yourself and the horse you rode in on, basically. That's why it's important.
Yeah, that it is important.
Simply to be able to say, you know, take your horse and go the F home.
And I feel that kind of comedy and that kind of the perspective, the receptivity to what's going on in the media to be able to be mirrored that way in Saturday Night Live is huge. Saturday Night Live is a very big influencer, and they're the ones that start to kind of show you when you've, in quotes, made it because of, you know, whenever they parody something you've done, you've been, you know, you're made, right?
Yeah. You know, even women who are, you know, even comedies that are geared towards women have that character.
Right.
Even you're like, right. even you're like, right. you know, even you're the right. one, even like almost all rom-coms have that, like, you didn't notice me because I'm smart and standing in the back and rolling my eyes at you character.
Yeah.
Like, where's the, you know, like where's the girls with the dragon tattoos? How come they never have anything funny and cute happen to them? You know what I mean? That would be a weird movie, right?
That would be a totally weird movie.
The girl with the dragon tattoo, like, falls in love with her.
Oh, my God.
With her hacker buddy. I don't know.
Oh, my God. No, but that, yeah, that was a really great movie. I love that movie. So, yeah. So, there we have it. Now, we're going to kind of switch it over to audio-specific stuff. And this is something that's really interesting. It actually just came out, I think, yesterday. So Edison Research, who are the people that do, you know, whenever you actually, that you quote numbers from their presentation on your webinars.
I do.
Yeah, Jess. And as do almost every single person that does any kind of podcasting anything or any kind of podcasting blog post about that has any kind of data about podcasts, it's this. Data. It's from Edison Research, and it's from specifically the share of ear research that they do. So this just came out yesterday, and we're recording on February 4th, and this will be out on February 9th. But they say that Edison Research, the industry leader in streaming audio research, will expand its influential share of ear study to quarterly measurement based on overwhelming demand from all quarters of the audio industry. So usually they put out, you know, they put out a huge thing of like how many people are listening to podcasts, where they're listening and all that kind of stuff. They have all the graphics and it's been shared up the wazoo every single time that you find any data on podcasting. It's from this research. So it's kind of nice to know that now they're going to be measuring it quarterly. Mm-hmm. Usually they do it like once a year. The first one I believe is going to be released March 4th. So, and then they say that, let me see. Oh, and this is what it's all about. It says, introduced last May, the share of ear report measures Americans' share of time spent listening to all audio sources. It is the only single-sourced measurement that puts broadcast radio, internet-only streaming audio, podcasting, satellite radio, TV music channels, and listeners' own music collections together. Edison has been releasing early findings from the fall of 2014 study, but the full share of ear survey findings are available by subscription only to Edison Research clients.
How much?
I don't know. I emailed them because at the bottom it says, those interested in subscribing to share of ear can contact Rosen at lrosen@edisonresearch.com. So I emailed them on behalf of Lipson. I'm not sure what that means. Like, I don't know. I don't know if you pay, like, I don't know what that means. So,
I mean, I'm just on their website to see, how much it costs to get in on that. I'm sure it's expensive.
It says those interested in subscribing to Share of Ear can contact Rosen. It doesn't say, you know, you need to be an Edison Research client. So no, I don't know if.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just don't know if, you know, you have to be a client to get that or if there's like you just have to email them if you are just interested in that data.
There is something that they have for free download called the Social Habit 2014. I wonder if that has anything in there. I'm going to download it real quick. I wonder if that has anything to do with like whether or not people podcast or is it just like who's using Facebook?
Yeah, I don't know. And you know what I have? I know that I downloaded the Share of Ear last year, so they do make it available for download after they have it out.
That's cool.
And they have all the information online. It's just that I think that it's more about like getting the information before possibly things are out. I don't know. But anyway, I just thought that that was an interesting something that we could touch base on here.
I'm going to look. I'm downloading the Social Habit right now. I just want to see.
Because you are super smart.
Well, I just want to see if there's anything that we give a crap about.
Right. For all of that stuff. Yes. And speaking of giving a crap about, like, even though we're probably not going to get too deep into this stuff, we did want to kind of start to chat about priming for a podcast or what is it that you need to really do to to launch a podcast, but we're going to take it a little bit at a time. As you can see, we've been talking for almost an hour.
Yeah.
Not about the main topic here, but just to kind of start to drip out content and drip out little bits and pieces of information that you guys need to know if you do or are interested in starting a podcast. And if you have like an idea already, let's say you have an idea, you've heard podcasting is super fun and exciting, and what you need to do as a next step for you to do your stuff. So slowly we will be releasing this checklist, which you all will be able to download for yourselves. But as of now, we're just going to kind of chat and talk through it with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how's it going over there with the download?
I have it. It's mostly about Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Like it's demographical information. So like, for example, let me go back to the top. It just says like, the lead in awareness is Facebook and then Twitter and then MySpace, then Instagram. So MySpace is still holding, huh? I didn't know that.
Okay.
As far as like age 12 and up using each social networking site, LinkedIn first and then – no, sorry, Facebook, then LinkedIn, then Instagram.
Right.
Then Google Plus, then Twitter. So Twitter is really hitting it.
Hmm.
As far as male versus female, it looks like – 63% on Facebook versus 54 on Facebook for men, 22% on LinkedIn versus 17 for women, 23% women versus 16% on Instagram, and so on and so forth. Obviously, Facebook is the dominant, but it's just interesting how like, okay, so for women, the dominant ones are Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, obviously, a little bit Snapchat, a little bit Twitter, believe it or not. And then men dominate on LinkedIn and Google Plus.
Huh. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could have guessed that.
Yeah. And it, yeah. So, you know, that actually takes us really great into our, like the beginning of our checklist here to start to talk about because,
like, where should you be, kind of?
Yeah, like, where should you be? Just because of the – because what if your people aren't listening, which is the share of ear that's going to come through it. But here's my biggest question for people who want to start a podcast, and I feel that this is something that sometimes it's not added into checklist and stuff, but to be able to know what a podcast is.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, the definition of a podcast. Like, to be able to see – what it is and how you're going to use it, because there are two and here comes the teaching. There are two different types of podcasts that you can do, and basically the technical definition I would say is that they are media files that are delivered via RSS that you can subscribe to. So the subscription, the ability to subscribe to these, is part of the definition of what a podcast is. So if you have a bunch of webinars, but, you know, free calls or free conferences that you've recorded. If you've recorded chapters of a book, and you have audio files that are specific to each one of them, you know, that you have all of that. If you have a course that you've already recorded, that you have audio files that you've already created, something like that. That's exactly what those are, audio files.
So, yeah.
Then there's a possibility for you to create an RSS feed, which is what makes them into a podcast. Then people can subscribe to these audio files that are delivered into, you know, when people are subscribed. That's what makes them into a podcast. It's a delivery mechanism. It's sort of like, let's say you write chapters of a book and you then deliver that as an ebook. That's one way to do it. And then, or you write these chapters of a book and then you publish them as a blog post on your blog, like one chapter per blog post. Like, that's another way to deliver the content. Does that make sense, people?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the difference. And I think that part of your job as a new podcaster, you need to find out what a podcast is and what kind of if you already have existing content, or if you want to create new content, sort of like what Jess and I are doing, which is like a weekly show that we kind of put together every week. And it's not something that has already been done. And of course, we want to kind of get ahead a little bit, but sometimes that doesn't happen. As opposed to some people, like, we're going to have a guest coming soon to the show where you can really understand how to produce content, audio content, that you can sustain because of the workflows that you have set up. And it can actually, you can really batch produce a lot of content. So you have to decide what kind of show you want to do.
Yeah, totally.
That's good. So I know. Yay, totally. That's it. That's it. So yeah. No, but and also knowing like where your people are, and because marketing this podcast is a really big deal, just as big of a deal as it is for you to create the content. So I think that what Jessica was talking about before in that little thing that she just downloaded, yeah. That you have to know where you're going to market it. You know, do you have an existing audience? Are these like, I don't want you guys that are starting podcasts to think that just because you put the podcast up on iTunes, everybody's going to find it. And that's like,
oh no,
all you're going to do.
Oh no. I have a whole marketing like system soiree going on. Like I have a whole like, yeah, no, yeah. You can't just put it on iTunes.
No. It's exactly. It's kind of like every single time that you have an episode out, it's kind of like you are promoting a book or you're promoting
a product.
Unless you're famous. Exactly. And unless you have iTunes in your back pocket or whatever, because I was just looking at iTunes again, and I saw Tim Ferriss again was being featured on the top part because he has Arnold Schwarzenegger as his guest, as his next guest, Schwarzenegger. So of course they're going to feature that. And of course that's a big thing because Tim Ferriss is already big and
he looks weird, Arnold.
Well, dude, I think so.
He's been pulled, eh?
I think he has been pulled. But why would it, why would they do it? Like, I'm not, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
So your job today, people, those of you who are starting a podcast, is for you to start to do your research about what a podcast is, what kind of podcast you want to have, if it's something that you feel that you can produce from existing content, or if you're going to create a whole new entity, is it going to be something that you're going to be producing on the fly, you know, like what Jess and I have been doing as of late,
right.
Or if it's something going that is going to be that you can batch produce, maybe something that you're doing as a solo show or something that you can do with somebody else, or if it's something that has a final thing. Let's say you are recording your ebook that you have as an opt-in for your business or something. And that's going to be it. Like that, there's nothing more than that. And you're just going to record that in 5 minute, you know, bits and pieces and deliver it as a podcast as another option. So there are different ways that you can create or decide what your content is for a podcast.
Yeah. So true. Thank you, Elsie.
You're welcome. I think that's about all we're going to talk about on that topic, just because we are now heading over to the hour mark, and I feel that we possibly need to cut it.
We don't want to push our luck.
We don't want to push our luck with that. So that is like the first little segment, and I think that if we make it a segment, it will be really nice to be able to then deliver this to you guys later. In a good way. So, yay.
In a good way.
So if you guys have any questions for us, you can email over to feedback@shepodcast.com, or you can come and hang out with us on the Facebook group, which is growing like by leaps and bounds. And
you can
find that over at shepodcast.com/group and join over in the conversation. There's a lot of amazing women that are out there. And I want to give a shout out to Heather Ordover. And I should have mentioned this earlier in our conversation too, because she just did it's a 20-minute bonus episode, I would say, where she talks about podcasting, and she produced a 20-minute show where she appeals to those people who have been listening to Serial. She actually makes a really intelligent commentary, which this is a must listen, about podcasting, what it is, what you can expect, what different types of podcasts out there are, and the different types of podcasts that you can find. She did it in a fantastically, like, wonderfully produced 20 minutes. I can guarantee you that you guys will all learn, and you could see the power of the medium. And I know that Heather worked very hard on this, and I can't wait to share it even more. I'll put a link in the show notes. And the episode is called On Serial / Craft Lit Bonus.
Ooh, so, thanks.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
Good tips. So,
yay.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes.
Please send us any questions you have. And thank you so much, Elsie, for being so organized and wonderful.
Oh, my
God. Fantastic.
I'm such a dork.
And for continuing the show when I was unable to do so.
I was just pining for you.
Oh, me too. You have no idea.
Oh, God. Well, we'll see each other next week, I hope.
So. Yes, ma'am.
Yay. Okay. Bye.
Bye, guys. The